have all of those dollars there and helping with the campaign. So where can you find the auction? You can find it by visiting our website at uwswac.org. And when you first come on, there'll be a banner that has wreaths on it. You just click that. And right now there is a link there that is live. So you can just click on that link and it'll take you right to the auction. We will also be posting daily on social media, and we've done some sneak peeks for the last week on Facebook, so you could kind of see a few of the wreaths. But some were really up close and personal, like you couldn't necessarily see the whole thing.
Yeah.
But and again, this ends next Tuesday, so on Wednesday you could come by our office and pick up your new wreath and have it on your, you know, on your door or your mantle or in your house for the rest of the Christmas season. Or they certainly make wonderful, wonderful gifts.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. And your mother is quite partial.
Very much so. Very much so. She's been waiting for this day. She's
and your checkbook.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I really love, not only do I love what this is all for and what this raises money for and everything, Terry, but I love the creativity that we get to bring out of our community for it, that it is a community-done thing, that you're not going to some conglomerate and getting wreaths and they're all the same wreath. The personality and the, like, I don't know the people that made these, but I feel like I get a little bit of an idea of them, a bit of their creativity. It's so much fun to see these, let alone to bid on them and to possibly win one. I love the way you guys do the bidding, too. Not everybody can jump on the website every 5 seconds or something like eBay or any of those kind of things. Having that set pay really gives people an opportunity to be able to kind of like, okay, I don't have to worry. Maybe, you know, if I can get it, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
It's really smart.
And I think it's really cool, too, because it will. The other thing is that it will just notify you if you've been outbid. You know, so if you bid on one, it'll just tell you, hey, you know, someone outbid you. So then you can, you could choose, maybe I've reached my max on that one, but I'm going to switch to a different one or, you know, whatever. But just a fun way to engage. And like I said, this link is live right now. So you can, you know, if you've got a computer or phone handy, you can jump on and, go ahead and take a look at those. But there are 16 and, you know, really hats off to those who made that donation and those companies who supported the wreaths. And then, of course, this week, we also, 2 days ago, was Giving Tuesday, and people probably saw a lot about that because probably any organization that you've been affiliated with or checked into, you know, had some kind of a Giving Tuesday promotion. And so for us, for the past 5 years, we've actually focused on Imagination Library. Mm-hmm. And so by donating $30, you sponsor a child for a year, so for 12 months of books. And I will tell you, you cannot go into a retailer and buy 12 new books for $30.
No.
And so, it's a great value. They are delivered to the child's home, which is really super cool, right? Like it comes in the mail. And so that's really a big deal. And I will tell you that we had our best Giving Tuesday ever. So we surpassed last year. We were actually 100% over last year.
Mm.
And so that's really awesome, you know, people coming forward.
God, is that cool.
And you know what's really cool? And I'll just give this shout out because I know he wouldn't mind. But Stephen Carlton, who is a former director of our literacy council here in Wisconsin Rapids, and he and his wife they've moved to Madison several years ago, but they are still some of our biggest supporters of Giving Tuesday and the Imagination Library program, because and that's really cool because they're not even here anymore, but they really really see that value. But we saw a lot of nice donations and just a couple of other things about Imagination Library that's really cool is, you know, when you we're talking about Alice and John Jack before, the cranberry thing is what sparked this, but the local cranberry growers have a fund through Ocean Spray where they can apply for funding for organizations or I guess causes that they're passionate about. So this is, you know, it's restricted to the growers that do the applying. But we actually have a grower who is part of our Women United group. And so she wrote an Ocean Spray grant for Imagination Library.
Wow.
And so we were able to receive $2,500 from that grant. And it just keeps getting better.
Sure.
And our partners out at Domtar are, you know, great friends out there. They have a wonderful campaign, really do a lot for United Way. Said, you know, we would like to, literacy is a big deal for us and we want to support Imagination Library. And so we also just received an Imagination Library grant from them for $5,000.
Wow.
So just in the course of a week, we leveraged about $8,500 for Imagination Library.
My God.
So that's awesome. Really awesome.
Really
and to just kind of give a feel for, if you don't know what Imagination Library is, this is for children from birth to age 5, and they receive a free book in the mail at no cost to them, yep, with the idea of building that child's library, mm-hmm, and their certainly their reading skills, right? It's yeah, it's exciting, and someone reads with them or they don't and they look at the pictures. But it is a big deal, and we United Way and our Women United group sponsored this program for all children who reside in Southwood County. So the yeah, child has to live here. Mm-hmm. And we do, you know, hear from a lot of grandparents like, oh, my grandkids live in, you know, I don't know, Portage. Right. But we just don't have the capacity to do that. So the child has to live here. But if as long as the child lives in Southwood County, they're eligible. And the cost to us for that is probably about $1,600 to $1,700 a month. Mm-hmm. So just to kind of give a feel for, you know what I mean, how yeah, what the cost is of the program, and it is beyond worth of every single penny.
Yeah, it certainly
I
is.
I mean, it is, yeah, it is remarkable.
I've done it last 2 years, or 2 or 3 years, and I have never met a child that has gotten one of these books, but I have felt every single one of it. I have felt every bit of
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I don't usually like recommend or push a lot of things. This is one of those ones that I back 1,000%, and I encourage anybody who can be participated in. The feeling that you get from doing something like this is unwordable. There is not a word in the English language to really describe what it feels like to be a part of something like this.
Well, and it is really awesome. And Dolly Parton has reading interventionists on staff, you know, yeah, through the Dollywood Foundation. So it's like these aren't the books that, you know, let's say a 3-month-old is getting now is not the same book that they were getting 10 years ago because, right, you know, things are constantly evolving, mm-hmm, and changing. And so I think that that's really cool. It's kind of like, what's the latest, you know, what's the greatest book right now for yeah, this yeah, age group? And so it's just really cool. And I'm love that we were able to get this up and running here in our community. And so we did this, we started this in August of 17. And it's just remarkable. And you know, certainly thanks to everyone who has had a part of it. And if you missed Giving Tuesday, we do always have on our website, if you click on Women United and then Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, there's always an opportunity. It's always there. There's always a giving page where you can say, I want to sponsor one child for 30 or two children for 60. And so that's always up there. Because sometimes we'll just have people go, oh, you know, I'd like to donate. Or one thing that I've been seeing a lot is kind of cool, like more, well, obviously not in the winter, but in the summer months, somebody would be like, oh, you know, we had a garage sale. And so I talked to my kids about, we're going to donate some of it. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? We're going to keep mm-hmm, some of it. We're going to donate some of it. And Imagination Library has been one that's kind of resonated with people. And I think because you appreciate books for your kids when they're, you know, when they're younger, and yes, then when they outgrow them, we'll take books for our great book giveaway. You know, the gently used books, but this is, it's just, I don't know, it's just really cool. Like you said, there's nothing about it that's not awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those beautiful win-win kind of yeah, win situations in life. We had Catherine Elkert on yesterday, the new director over at McMillan. And her and I on air, were talking about some of the things that she's really hoping to do over there. And one of the things she wants to continue to do is, you know, reaching out to children, encouraging more kids to read, to spend more time reading. And it's great. We have an amazing library here. And I guarantee that wherever you're listening to us, you probably got a great library near you too, but we know how kids are and what's it within reach, you know, mm-hmm, and if there's books within reach, if they've got a little bit of a library of their own, chances are they're going to read even more, and they're going to read those books in particular.
Absolutely.
And it's all about them having the books to be able to do so. This really lets you be able to do that. It really adds to it. It's such
a great
thing.
And if you've
got
two kids under five, they both get books, you know what yeah, I mean? So it's yeah, not like, oh, really, you have cool to share. I mean, they're yours, right? Like that's really cool.
Terry, I always mean to ask this. If a family out there is looking to receive books, is yes, there something that they can do? Or
yes,
somebody
so you do have to, it's a paper sign-up form, but you mm-hmm, can download it off of our website, or you can contact Stephanie in our office. But if you visit our website, uwswac.org, and on the right, there's a menu, and then you just select Imagination Library. There is a form there that you can print and fill out. You can stop by the United Way office. You can stop by McMillan Library, or the library in Nakusa, or the library in Vesper. They all have forms. The Aspirus Doctors Clinic, as well as Marshfield Clinic, has them in their child well check area, mm, so that, you know, so they might not remember to hand it to you, but if you ask for it, they have it. So the forms are around, but you always can just give us a call. But just a reminder, the child needs to reside in Southwood. And right now, I mean, just We have 600 kids receiving books.
Wow.
Every month.
Man, that's cool.
And so then, but of course, every month a child turns five, right? So then they then they end the program and then we pick up new ones. So it's a fluctuating number, but it's just really cool. You know, by the end of the year, when we look at the thousands of books that we were able to get in kids' hands just in that calendar year, you know, it's neat.
It feels good just even talking about it, let alone being a part of it. We encourage you to do so. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, since we're talking about her, Dolly Parton's Mountain Magic Christmas is on tonight at 7 o'clock on NBC.
Perfect.
She's doing such a great thing with this program. We can promote her a little bit.
For sure.
Because she needs it, right? Because, you know, who's ever...
But you know what? Is there... I mean, she's just... I don't know. Yeah. She's got a heart of gold. And her thoughts around philanthropy and about community and about how we connect with one another by giving when we have the ability and by receiving when we don't. You know, I mean, she's pretty remarkable.
Where I'm from in Chicago especially, but most inner cities are like this. There's a lot of remembering where you're from and remembering your roots and how important that is to not forget where you came from and these things, especially inner city life and stuff. And you make it and you get out and, you know, giving back to where you're from. It's a big, big deal where I'm at, loyalty and all that. My first example of that has always been Dolly Parton. She's always, like, most people would bring up this rapper or this actor or this person or whatever. She is always, since I was a kid, she's been my first example of this, of remembering where you come from, remembering your roots, and that you can live your life now, but don't forget where you came from. Yeah. And man, is this a woman who has always done that. And even when she didn't have the money, many people may not realize that Jolene first gets started recording and she's starting to get built up and everything, what she did with half her money was help her family. Well, you know, I mean,
exactly.
She didn't go out and buy a new car. She didn't do any of these things. She helped her family as soon as she could. This is who she is. She is grown. She has certainly got some style to her, some class and all these things. But make no mistake about it. That is still the country Dolly. That is still old woman
for
that has always been. And I think that is part of what pulls us to her, part of what we appreciate, and that she literally puts her money where her mouth is. Like when she talks about a cause, it's not just so she can put her name to
right. There is no just talk, right? Like she's a doer for sure.
The Dolly Parton Mountain Magic Christmas is on tonight at 7 on NBC, and we encourage you to go to the United Way's website to find out more and give if you can, or get in on the silent auction, and you can go to uwswac.org to do that. We'll take a break. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here trying to do our job while we're staring at these wreaths. That is a really cool
design. Wait, what
are
we trying to do?
Some kind of work or something. I think the radio's on. I think our mics are on. I think those are really cool wreaths, Terry. You guys got to check those out. Go to uwswac.org.com. Go ahead and check those wreaths out. And while you're doing that, we'll go ahead and tell you what is fun about today as we dive into our National Day of Calendar for this December 1st. Happy December, everybody. Happy December. Happy Friday.
It's my favorite. Yay!
Yeah, this is your favorite month, isn't it? I thought
yes.
so.
Yes.
Let's see. Let's dive right into it. Now, I do want to remind everybody about Blue Christmas. This is going on till December 31st. Keep that in mind. Certainly keep in mind all of our hardworking people out there who really, they never punch out. You know, EMTs, firefighters, police officers, all of our people working in the ERs, all of this stuff. There is no holidays for anybody. They just continue to do what they do, and we greatly appreciate them. Day Without Art Day. I don't know about
this
one.
That's interesting.
So Day Without Art Day, also known as World AIDS Day, was created to both acknowledge and mourn the passing of those infected with AIDS, as well as take action against the disease that has killed thousands upon thousands of people the world over since the pandemic started in the 1980s. In fact, in 1985, 12,000 Americans were known to have AIDS, and 7,000 died from that year alone. Still not many people saw it fit to discuss the pandemic that was taking the lives of so many friends and family members. We've certainly know that we've lost a lot of artists, but we've lost a lot of people to this disease. Certainly anything to bring attention to it and bring awareness to it is never a bad idea. I think that one of the biggest harms that the pandemic, the most recent pandemic, COVID, caused was when that happened, that took our attention. and it took our attention away from so many other diseases and causes that rightly need us. Child care is the first thing that pops in my head. We were really getting somewhere on that, I felt, as a country, as a nation, talking about it. Pandemic happens, done. We're not talking about it anymore. Whereas now, we need it even more. And because of the pandemic, and it seems like we're having to rustle this conversation up. AIDS, a lot of these viruses are very similar to that. Thankfully, there has been a lot of progress made and a lot of work done on this subject. And I think for some people, they see that and they think that, well, it's gotten better. It's all better. And that's just not the case, especially when you think about third world countries that are like Africa and places that are really struggling with this disease still. If this is stuck in your brain, you got to get it stuck out of your head. This is not a sex disease. It's not a disease that just happens to one, you know, if you just have sex with this tile of person or something like that. Like, this is all over the gamut now, and it's something that takes all of our attention. I think Princess Diane did a lot of incredible and important things in her life. I think you could make the argument, maybe outside of being a wonderful mother and helping raise those boys, the thing that you can make a point to about her is when this was in the heart of it. And I don't know how much you remember this, Terry, but I know we were both alive for it. But they were saying that you should be afraid to be in a room with somebody with HIV. And she's doing interviews and commercials and everything where she's holding hands with people. She's in the room with people with HIV.
That was awesome.
I get goosebumps thinking about it.
I agree. Yeah, very much. And Diana was, she's right. She's an icon for a lot of different things, but that level of compassion, I agree.
What we were just saying about Dolly Parton, you know, when people really put their money where their mouth is, when they really do these kind of things, it's noteworthy. And I can't help but think of her, think about my uncle, who I lost to HIV, and some other people that I've known that I have. It's a horrible disease. And hopefully, you know, the more attention we bring to it, the more awareness we bring to it, we can get rid of it. Because it's also World AIDS Day to go along with this. That's something else to keep in mind with this. You see red ribbons today. That's what it's about. National Eat a Red Apple Day.
Oh, that's a good one.
Very good. I love apples.
Keeps the doctor away.
Yes. I'd love to know how much truth there is to them. When one thinks of an apple, it isn't the vibrant green color of the Granny Smith apple that jumps to mind, nor is it the mottled red and yellow stripes of the Fuji apple. No, indeed, the apple that comes to mind is the red delicious apple.
I agree. When someone says apple, that's exactly what I think of, but my preference of those is the Granny Smith.
I do like the green one.
Like, I like the tart, and when I do my pies, I always use Granny Smith.
My mom does, too.
Always.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that's common. Is that a common thing? I don't make a lot of pies.
I mean, so. I think it is, but I like the little bit of tartness with the apple, you know, to offset all the sugar you put in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you do think of a red apple when someone says, true. A is for apple. You know, it's, yeah.
America became quite the hotbed of apple development after the travels of Johnny Appleseed, and by the late 1800s, apple trees were everywhere in an amazing rainbow of delicious variety. Very good stuff. Love me some apples. And it's National Cookie Cutter Day.
Oh,
I like that.
I love that.
It's a perfect one for December 1st. Becoming popular in the 16th century when the gingerbread man made its way to the English court and then moved through to common people, cookie cutters have evolved over time into different shapes and sizes. And National Cookie Cutter Day comes around each year to remind people how valuable cookie cutters can be to their lives.
I love cookie cutters. I think they're really cool. Yeah. And I have like all of my mother-in-law's really old ones and stuff. But when we do like Christmas cutout cookies, I still only use, there's only a certain few. Maybe six or seven of them. But I probably have like 50. And it's funny because one of the girls will be like, well, why don't we use this one? I'm like, no, we can't use that. Not because I don't want them to use it, because it messes up like my color scheme of the cookies.
There is only the ones that you use. You're so right about that. Even before Queen Elizabeth I had gingerbread made into men, the Germans of the 1500s were baking small cakes into molds and designs, some of which were very intricate. By the time of the 1800s came around, the cookie cutters were made from tin by American tinsmiths. In fact, the first patent for a cookie cutter in the United States was granted to Alexander P. Ashbourne in 1875.
That's cool. I didn't know that. I mean, two things there. I didn't know Queen Elizabeth charged gingerbread to be made in the shape of a man. I think that's kind of funny.
That is an interesting story.
And then, that we had the first patent. That's pretty cool.
It used to be such a classism thing. You had special designs for, you know, sweets only if you were rich. Otherwise, you just dicked your, you know, just dove your hand into something and eat it or whatever. Like, it was weird how it was. And then all of a sudden, this kind of stuff, like, really set the trend for that.
That's awesome.
I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I wouldn't have thought it was that old, though. So do we blame Queen Elizabeth for gingerbread like men? Is that it? Not blame, but I mean, like, give her credit for it, really?
Yeah, well, that's what it says.
It kind of seems like it, yeah. Huh, interesting. That is very interesting. So we will take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and dive into four things to look forward to in December. All that coming up for you right here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, getting in the Christmas spirit around here. Hopefully you are too. It is December. Now is the time. Now is the time. That is definitely something to look forward to.
Probably a little
this
late.
But maybe for some, for some people, yes. It is time for Terry and I out here with you at 7:37 on the clock. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope your Friday Eve is treating you good. Thanks so much for joining us. We are going to dive in right now. Four things to look forward to in December. And they break this down by sports, movies, TV, holidays, that kind of thing. So we'll go ahead and roll through these. First up, sports. Lots of NFL this month. College football bowl games start December 16th. The World Cup is going on through December 18th. U.S. plays the Netherlands in the round of 16 this Saturday. Go USA.
Yeah, we've been watching.
Oh, it's been fun.
It is.
I jumped out of my seat and flipped out when Pasilic kicked that goal in. I didn't think I would react that way. I didn't think that it would. Like, I saw the first goal of the whole thing when the young American kicked that in.
Yeah.
The first game against Wales. And that was exciting and everything. I don't know. There was something about the moment and the tension and just it's such a cool feeling. It reminds me of the Olympics so much where it feels like, I know not every American is watching the screen, but it feels like it. It feels like we're all on
like
the same team.
Like there's this huge roar all at once. Yeah, I think so too.
It wasn't just in the stadium. It felt like in the country it was this roar. It was a great feeling. We've got a great young team, and I don't know how much farther this team's going to go, but I really look forward to when we host this thing in, I believe, 2026, because we're going to have the World Cup here in the United States coming up.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
And we're going to have this team that is going to be that much more seasoned, that much better. Like, this stuff is great right now, but nobody's predicting America to win this whole thing. Right now, this is about getting as many wins as we can, getting the experience we can for these young athletes, and showing the rest of the world we're here. It's time. It's not just the women's team anymore, although, God, the women's team is amazing.
They are really good.
They're really fun to watch. But
they are.
This men's team, we're finally, the money and the effort, this coach, everything that we put into it, it's finally starting to happen.
When I was watching the game the other night, we were just talking about just the ball handling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have a high school soccer player, so of course it's different, but it is definitely a different level than, you know, rec soccer, right?
Right.
But just watching them, it's just like, it's remarkable.
My dad was always really big, being a hockey player, being a boxer, really big about feet work.
And equal foot.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, not just your dominant foot, that your weaker foot is as good as your other.
I'm 7 years old, and my dad's teaching me how to run backwards and not letting me go in the house to eat until I know how to do this because of how important it is in, like, these different sports and everything. And for my whole life, though, one of the only things it really did do for me was make me pay attention to athletes' feet.
Yeah.
Watch a cornerback, watch a wide receiver when they're setting up. Devontae Adams was a great example of this the footwork that they have. It's such an integral part of their game, and no more than in soccer, of course, where that you can see some of the smartest feet in the world.
Yeah.
Like, just they're really, really, like, impressing you with what they can do. Looking at movies, because, there's a lot of sports going on, and we'll talk more about that on Playmakers and everything. But looking at movies, the action comedy Christmas flick Violent Night opens tomorrow. Quite a few people actually excited about that.
I've not even heard about this. Did you just say Violent Night?
Yep. It is a... So the
it's not on Hallmark, I take it.
No. It is the opposite of that. You know, for everybody that loves those cheesy Hallmark movies and everything, this is for the people that love the opposite of that.
I think I would not go to that.
No, I don't think you will. No, this is not for you. It stars David Harbour. You know him from Stranger Things and a handful. He was Hellboy for a little bit there. It's kind of a play. Like, he actually plays Santa, but he one of the houses he goes to is being robbed, and he helps the family, you know, that fight back the robbers and everything. And John Leguizamo's in it. I mean, it looks like a fun movie.
So
it
it's not look, okay. So it's not like a thriller.
No,
like a like when you first said that, I was like, oh my gosh, it's not like a murder show.
No, there's plenty of those out there though.
Okay,
but this one is more of a, I would say, an action comedy.
Okay.
Like it just plays into the whole, you know, you've been naughty, of thing and stuff. It looks, I mean, silly fun if you like that kind of thing. Emancipation with Will Smith hits Apple TV on the 9th. Very curious to see how that does. He has been coming out recently in interviews and talking about how he understands that people aren't ready to see him yet, watch his movies yet, and that. I get that, and I think that's a smart PR move by him. I feel like, though, you're also shooting yourself in the foot with this, Will, because he's talking about his movies and watching him in that. And it's like, you know, there's 1,000 people that worked on this movie other than you.
And so the arrogance is still there.
It's still there, it seems like. It does. It really does. And maybe that's not how he meant it or whatever,
sure,
but that's how it's coming across. And he's a better, he's way too good at interviews and acting and being in the public eye to mishandle some of these things. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know how the future of his career is going to look. I don't think he's going to go away by any means, but I am very curious to see how this folds. I was actually kind of wondering when this first happened, well, how long is this one going to take?
Right.
Because, man, do we love a comeback story. You know, when apple pie, baseball, and a comeback story are three things we love here in America.
With green apples.
Yes, with green apples. I'm curious to see when his comeback story will begin, because I don't feel like he has done anything that is irreplaceable or irreparable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I think that our society is getting better about accountability and the fact that, hey, you know, there are a million Will Smiths out there. There's only one him. I'm not saying that, he's not an individual, that he does. He's not very, very talented at what he does. He's a great actor. He's a great personality by all means, it seems like, and everything outside of these couple of moments and everything. But there are thousands of talented actors out there. There are thousands. Like, you mess up, you deserve a chance to rebuild your career and everything, but that doesn't hold back other people. Like,
right,
other people are going to be stepping up and taking on that job. They would be anyway, even if Will Smith had never had any of these controversies. It doesn't happen as bad to men, but make no mistake, guys, casting directors, they see your age in seconds, not minutes, not years, seconds. Last year when we interviewed you, you looked young. Like, they'll say stuff like that to you. They have no problem. If you have
been a rough 12 months.
Right? You know, it's like, geez, I thought I was looking better. I thought I was. It's interesting to see what's going to happen with that and how many people are going to actually watch that in future movies of his. I'll tell you, a lot of people are going to be watching The Whale starring Brendan Fraser. That hits theaters the same day on the 9th. That is one of those Oscar-type movies that people are talking about. It's really cool to see Brendan Fraser back in the public eye.
I was going to say, and he's so likable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just something about him.
Well,
that
he got blackballed. He got blackballed because of what he was doing would have been perfectly fine a couple of years later during the Me Too movement. But because he did what he did when he did, immediately all these producers and all these people in Hollywood, and was in Hollywood, independent directors weren't doing this, were like, oh, we can't have him, he's controversial and stuff. And a couple of years later, Me Too movement happens. A lot of what him and Terry Crews and some other men have said would have been fine. It's good to see him back out there. And with his sons, he's bringing his sons with him to these premieres.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I don't know. There's something about him that's just likable.
He's a great actor, and he's a likable actor. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio hits Netflix also on the 9th, and the long-awaited sequel to Avatar: The Way of Water comes out 50 years after it came out. I don't know. It's theaters December 16th. It is 3 hours and 12 minutes with no break.
Come on.
That's the ego of James Cameron. That's what you get.
That James Cameron, baby. That's that movement. That man, I guarantee you, will never do a movie under 2 hours and 45 minutes for the rest of his career.
I mean, Titanic, it was okay. I have no problem with
right,
that.
Right, of course.
I'm serious.
No, I get it. I get it. I get that you're serious. I don't get it, but I get that
like,
you're serious.
You get it, really? No, you don't.
No, I don't. On TV, lots of holiday specials. Also, the People's Choice Awards are next Tuesday. Too Hot to Handle on Netflix next Wednesday. I have no idea what that is. And Harrison Ford's new Yellowstone prequel series, 1923, hits Paramount Plus on the 18th. That is the 15th prequel sequel to the Yellowstone series.
Okay, stop it. It
like
is 14 not.
14 of them out
it's
there.
The third one.
It's the third one. It is
stop
the third
it.
One.
Well, it's actually only the second because it's Yellowstone and then it's 1883 and now this one, 1923.
They got to be careful, though, with this. They have something here. Yellowstone is very popular, doing very well right now. You do these spinoffs and you start doing too much of it and everything. And people, their numbers are already going down.
I don't know about the 1923 one. I haven't looked at it enough. But the 1883, I mean... That was Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. Like, what's not... It doesn't matter.
It did well.
That's what I'm saying. This one, I don't know what'll happen.
This one has Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren.
I do know.
No disrespect to those two, but those are two of the greatest actors of all time. Like,
and I know that they, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill declined 1923 because they were asked to do that. And they said, no, you know, we like this. Like, we like how this went and how this ended, and we want it just to let it end.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about it. I haven't watched any Yellowstone. I actually just said to my husband the other day, I'm like, hey, I'm going to subscribe to whatever, you know, whatever it's on. Mm-hmm. And I said, then you can watch it with me. And he's like, yeah, not interested. And I'm like, whoa, wrong answer. Wow. Although we rarely watch the same TV, like ever. Yeah, I mean, maybe intentionally a movie, but but like just regular television, we're never, you know, on the same page.
I think that could be just as healthy as, you know, watching everything together. I think that every couple's different.
But it's just as funny. I'm like, I'm going to get that. And he's like, yeah, no. And then we showed up at my sister, my sister and brother-in-law's house. Mm-hmm. And what do they have? Paused on the TV when we walk in is Yellowstone. I'm like, oh, see?
Nice.
But I don't know. I'm curious about it.
Then we take, you know, there's a lot. It's one of those series that I don't think going away anytime soon.
Yeah. So, okay, can we jump back to movies for a second?
Sure.
Have you seen the previews for, because I thought for sure this is what you were leading up to, but what about the Whitney Houston movie? That's coming out right before Christmas. The I Want to Dance with Someone.
Yep.
That looks, I mean, I wasn't like a huge Whitney Houston fan, but of course, being a child of the 80s, like, you know, I liked Whitney Houston. But I'm kind of curious about that movie. Like, I might actually go to it.
It does look, it looks interesting, that's for sure.
I don't know. I just thought maybe, you know, I figured that's where you were leading to with the movies.
Discovered by record executive Clive Davis, Whitney Houston rises from obscurity to international fame in the 1980s to become one of the greatest singers of her generation. So it's a biography, I see.
Yeah.
I had not seen much about this.
Oh, yeah. So I've just been catching.
But I see that there's a young lady playing Whitney Houston. There's a young actor playing. Okay. So, yeah.
So, and I've just been catching some of the previews for it. You know, when I have the TV kind of on in the background and I'm just like, oh, it kind of looks. But of course, the music catches me because that's our, you know, from our generation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That comes out December 22nd.
Cool.
And then finally, the holidays. That's what Christmas. That's what really the December is all about. The big ones are Christmas and Hanukkah, of course. Hanukkah from the 18th to the 26th, and Kwanzaa the 26th through January 1st. I love Hanukkah. I love Christmas. But one of the things that my favorite thing is when they fall in the same week. I love when they fall in the same week. It used to make me feel almost semi-normal as a kid. It's a great thing to be. It's a fun time too. But there's also National Cookie Day this Sunday. Nice.
Oh, I got to get going on my cookies.
Yeah, you do. I need some of those. National Ice Cream Day on the 13th. Ugly Sweater Day on the 16th. The first day of winter is December 21st. Festivus is the 23rd.
Oh, you had to go there.
And, of course, December 31st is New Year's Eve. And then we finally say goodbye to 2022.
Can you believe a whole year, a whole other year is gone?
It feels like every month it's been like, what happened to this month? What happened to that month? Like, I feel like it's already December 13th. Like, somehow we just already like skipped ahead somehow. Time is a flat circle.
That's why you got to get your December, your holiday festive, you know, decorations. Yep. You got to get going on that sooner.
Yeah, we do. We've got some ideas around here. Steph's been talking about some stuff that sounds really cool. We've been thinking about some things.
I do it early because first of all, I love it being up.
Yeah.
But I also am like, I don't want to put it up and then 2 weeks later have to take it down. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so much work to put it all up. So that's why I do it like literally right at Thanksgiving.
Right on. Yeah. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. We will kick off the 8 o'clock hour actually catching up with our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. They'll be joining us to start the hour. Looking forward to that. Right now, there was a little bit of breaking news that happened this morning, Terry. Good Morning America has a bit of a controversy going on. I don't know if you heard about this. Co-hosts TJ Holmes and Amy Rohrabach, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be mean here. I've never heard of these people before.
I was going to say,
life.
I have no idea who you're talking about, so okay.
They are co-hosts on Good Morning America. Now, that is weird. They have been secretly having an affair, apparently.
Oh.
Even though they're both married to other people.
That's what I was just going to say. Okay.
A so-called source says that their affair started back in March while they were training together for the New York City half marathon, but they'd hit it well enough for the GMA producers were shocked when they found out. They reportedly left their respective spouses in August. Britain's Daily Mail has pictures of them being together and all this. Rohrabach has been married to former actor Andrew Hsu since 2010 and Billy on the original Melrose Place. And let's see here. Rohrabach they've deactivated their accounts and all this stuff. This is not newsworthy. This isn't something that really I don't see why necessarily.
So what's the deal? Did they fire them?
No, it doesn't look like it. It just seems like it's a bit of like.
So they're having an engagement party on the show today? I mean, what is it that causes us to.
Yeah, yeah. Because. there's so much stuff. There's so much information, so much news, so many different things that, you know, pull our attention or need our attention nowadays. Like, I just could not care less what people are doing in their bedroom. I really could not. Like, are they hurting anybody? You know, that they mean, you know, are they breaking laws? You know, these kind of things. Like,
well, and
even then, I mean, you know, it's not my business necessarily.
Right.
It's the, you know, authorities.
I mean,
business,
there is the integrity question, right? Like,
absolutely.
if you really, whatever, your marriages are over and you want to be together, then do that right. Like, don't, you know what I mean? Don't leave casualties in your, like, I just,
I think
that way, but.
I think one of the most cowardly things you can do is cheat on somebody. I mean, just break up. Just end it. You know, it's not. I mean, I know it's not easy, but do it. It's so much better. First up, the person's always going to find out. Yeah. They always look. An example B right here of this. You know, I mean, so it makes no sense to cheat on people because they're going to find out. But also, it is one of the more cowardly things I think you can do to somebody. Just end the thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, this is between them and their significant others. And then they're saying this like they were separated or they broke up or whatever. So are they really cheating on them? I mean, I don't know. I don't see why. You bring up integrity. And I think integrity matters when like, politicians or new, you know, if Walter Cronkite had turned out that he was cheating on his wife or something, it meant something because we looked to him at the time. Well, that's our head of, you know, this is our head of news in this country, basically. If he's saying something, we can take it to the bank. If these guys are, you know, TJ Holmes and Amy Rohrabach, whoever they are, I've never heard of them, let alone look at them for integrity. I don't know how much people go to Good Morning America to get news as much as to wake up. You know, if you're going there for news, then I hear exactly what you're saying there. I think that is actually a really strong a point that doesn't get made very often that we need to come back to. We don't have the Copples anymore, the Rathers, the Jennings, the these people that we used to be able to say, okay, that person, I know I could trust that person. Not only do we not have we also never saw those people doing reality TV.
Well,
like, you know, trying to turn their journalistic careers into a, you know, semi B celebrity career. Like,
I wonder who this story came from. Like, is this just a ratings ploy?
Oh,
from
I guarantee
show?
You, this was like an intern. This was like a TJ or Amy. They ticked off somebody in that internship, and they just let this slip. I almost guarantee that's how this happened, because there's no way that Good Morning America didn't know about this. The producers of those shows, especially morning shows, it's insane how in your business they are. They want to know your every single breathing moment of what you're doing, let alone who you're sleeping with. So there's no way that these producers didn't know. And the only reason we know about it is because somebody got bent out of shape. I would almost bet $1 million on that.
Maybe it was the half marathon trainer. I mean, I don't know.
I'm blaming interns. You're right.
Maybe I don't know.
Like,
I mean,
it could have been somebody like that. It could have been.
Could have been one of the spouses.
I will say it doesn't help Good Morning America, where they are all these morning shows all try to do the same type of thing as far as being wholesome and welcoming and all that, and that's any kind of controversy is usually not a bad thing, not going to be very helpful for them. That's
so anyway,
for sure.
Let's talk about the Titanic.
Right, this is, right. One of the 3-hour movies Terry was okay with. Actually, you know, the whole Avatar thing that is going on with that movie being 3 hours and like 20 minutes or whatever. Part of the issue people have with it is when they've done that before with movies, they have an intermission. They always have an intermission.
That's what I was just going to say. When do you go to the bathroom?
It doesn't
sound
like...
I mean, at home, you pause, but...
Well, James Cameron's got it in him that, if we pause the movie, people are going to be taking away from it, and they won't be into the movie as much and everything.
Did you watch the first Avatar?
No, I got no interest in anything James Cameron does. I could not care less about James Cameron-directed movies. If I want to see narcissism...
Could you please tell us how you really feel?
Yeah, right? It's not like I'm an actor trying to get my career going or anything. But, I'll just fix this in post. I'll fix it in post. It's not like we're live, right? We're live. I'm being told we're live. Never mind. We will go ahead and take a quick commercial break, get to some CBS News. When we come back, we got our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center kick off the hour. We're also going to get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And Terry and I have the most and least popular holiday candies.
Oh, awesome.
I'm going to dive right into that here at WFHR, locally grown radio.